The Around the NFL Podcast. It's tu fantasia.
Welcome back to another edition of the Around the NFL Podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I am joined by a room filled with heroes, Mark Sessler, Chris Wessling, and Greg Rosenthal. What is up, boys?
Hey, Dan.
Yo!
How are you?
Exciting. Big day. Mark's back in the house. It's our first official full show for NFL Now, apparently.
You can watch every Around the NFL episode in full. You could watch our wardrobes, watch our physical transformation as fame gets to us and we become hollowed out monsters. All that stuff. Now, every show, three times a week on NFL Now, on Apple TV. This is the start of something beautiful, Mark Sessler, and welcome back, buddy.
Thank you. I feel like I haven't seen you guys in two fortnights.
It's only been a week. We went to the Wilco show a week ago. You look great in the pullover. Your hair is kind of doing something special today.
Listen, you come back from a trip like that, I don't have a single item of clean clothing. It's just a mass of smelly shirts, and so I just took the last thing I had and put this over it.
Well, the whole push to get us on NFL Now was basically they were like, look, your host, Dan Hansis, 50% of the value he's bringing to the company is hair. So to not take advantage of that on video, now it's all there.
I'm a physical product to be consumed by our $11 billion conglomerate. This is the Around the NFL Podcast. You know, we have a loyal listenership. I don't want anybody listening to get scared that we'll be one of those shows that starts doing video stuff and then forgets where we came from. We're going to do our best, Greg, and you are the boss. Look at you. You are not confident at all. You're going to leave behind the idea of the podcast because you want to be famous.
That's all that matters. If they give us the money, we'll sell everybody out.
That's true.
It's not about the viewers.
Actually, you just made a really good point. Mark, how was your flight? Was everything good coming back?
Well, no, you're
not exactly well.
I think the worst shape I've ever been in on any show we've ever done was two Super Bowls ago.
Yeah.
Afterwards, where I couldn't speak and I felt like a shell of a human being. I'm at 50% of that right now.
Well, Mark's got the afterglow of having a nice one-on-one conversation with Mike Pettine. Just seeing the pictures from it, you could see the love sort of emanating out of Sessler looking at the Browns.
Well, it was great to be out there. I mean, it was a great trip. You asked about the flight. The trip was great. The flight, an epic disaster, apocalyptic.
And we'll also, I'm sure you'll give us an update. You have a doctor visit coming up first. Since Wonderwall was atop the charts in the U.S.
Yeah. I had to squeeze this in between that, though.
I can't wait. Can you bring your medical records, a la JPP, that we could flash up
on
the screen?
I don't think I have any.
We do know how many fingers.
You're off the grid.
All right. So, big show today. Big show today on NFL Now and on the old podcast. We got a lot to get to. Obviously, my Twitter feed got blown up yesterday after Geno Smith's face got blown up. Knocked out. So we're going to talk a lot about that, what it means for the Jets, what it means for Ryan Fitzpatrick, Geno Smith, Todd Bowles. There's a lot of...
Dan Hansis. What does it mean for Dan Hansis?
A lot of layers to that onion. I'm not thrilled, obviously, about anything that came out of yesterday in Florham Park, which is really, Mark, and I say that you just reported from an Indian burial ground. Florham Park isn't too different.
Well, I think you noticed that one of the people that didn't tweet you was me. Because I know the feeling of when the latest disaster strikes and it's like, let's just kick people while they're down. I'm not going to kick Dan when he's down. It was not a good day for Hansis.
You're a good man. We're also going to Hard Knocks, premiered on HBO, the 10th season of the show featuring the Houston Texans. A very promising season premiere with Bill O'Brien behind the controls, a lot of J.J. Watt, which Mark will get to a little bit about that. Maybe that wasn't the best thing, but a very entertaining start to a new season. We'll talk about that a little bit. Also, we're going to bring back one of our favorite topics, one of our favorite segments. It's called What's Your Fancy in our language, but we like to mix it up. We call it Qual es tu fantasia. So, a lot to get to. But before we do any of that, we check behind the glass. He is our producer. He's TD. He's always a loyal man to us, and he's going to take us onward and upward on NFL Now, aren't you, buddy?
I'm with Greg, though. You know, I won't say I'm a sellout, but you know, I'll go where the money is, baby.
Great, great
zero,
attitude.
Zero
I was
integrity.
Kidding. I was kidding.
A visionary.
Now we've exposed you.
Yeah. Oh well. Back here with the Irishman and the fisherman as usual.
But the fisherman. I love that. Sully behind the glass, one of TD's henchmen, I'll call him, he wears a different fishing shirt every day now. It's almost like
He's like a superhero. Yeah. He just open up his closet and it's just fishing shirts.
So maybe we could get a picture of that. We'll put up on the Around the League page. Hey, TD, let's do some news.
All I know is you mess with me, you got problems. That's all I know.
That was, you would think that's J.J. Watt. That was actually I.K. Inampale.
Dan has been working on that pronunciation all night.
Yes. I mean, this is the big stage here. Geno Smith is the New York Jets quarterback. He was supposed to be the starter for the Jets, and this was a big redemption season for him, potentially. Greg, which I now realize over on the Throne of Ease, this was all a massive jinx by the boss, talked up Geno Smith as a Making the Leap candidate. Well, he might make the leap, but it's going to take some while before he gets on the field, before he eats solid foods. Geno Smith knocked out by teammate, a bottom-of-the-roster linebacker named, I'll say it again, I.K. Inampale. Is that right?
Nailed
Nicely
it.
Done.
Close enough.
Jairus Byer. Jairus Byer.
Who punched Geno Smith in the face, sucker punched him, according to Jets coach Todd Bowles, over a debt that was unpaid by Geno of $600, Albert Breer and many other people reported, tying back to a flight and travel expenses that I.K. Inampale promised, or Geno Smith promised him that he would go to his charity camp. Geno backed out because of a family emergency, said he would pay back the linebacker, didn't on time, so I.K. punched him, cut immediately, the linebacker, I.K. Inampale.
You're really going out of your way to say that.
Immediately released.
Possible.
Geno Smith, broken jaw in two places, needs surgery, out 6 to 10 weeks. Your first reaction, Greg Rosenthal?
Well, my first reaction was Jets fans are going to be thinking, this only happens to the Jets. And in this case, they're right.
I mean, of course I'm thinking that. It's true.
This is the most insane story that we've heard. It's just almost unprecedented. There's a case of it. A similar case happening to the Dallas Cowboys about 40 years ago. But here's a guy who broke his jaw and is going to miss 6 to 10 weeks. And my immediate thought was more just this feeling of negativity around the Jets this preseason, that they haven't even played one game yet. And Sheldon Richardson's suspension is going to go longer than expected. They've lost D. Milner for a while. They've lost Devin Smith. And now they've lost their starting quarterback.
It's, you know, Greg, you always say I'm being dramatic when I said nobody really understands what it's like to be a Jets fan, because it is different than, say, being a Bengals fan or being a Browns fan, because there is that level of humiliation that courses through the organization on a very, like, whether it's the butt fumble or something like this. And that was my first takeaway as a Jets fan, is I don't think Geno Smith is necessarily that much better or better at all than even better at all over Ryan Fitzpatrick, who I think they're kind of the same basic skill level. So I don't think the team necessarily gets worse. But I do think from a distraction angle and the media attention on the team, it's bad for the team. And it's just embarrassing. It sucks to be a Jets fan, because this stuff happens every couple of years. You think you're in the clear and you could be a regular team, and you're in the clown car again.
I think the Jets are fine. I really do. I think Ryan Fitzpatrick's a better quarterback than Geno Smith. He might not have the upside, but I think early season, I mean, when's the last time Ryan Fitzpatrick had an offense this loaded with weapons? Devin Smith, I'm convinced, was not headed for an early season huge role. I think his role might have increased over the season, but I think they're fine. I don't think, outside of the Sheldon Richardson thing, and they protected themselves by drafting Leonard Williams, I still think this is an 8-8, 9-7 team.
Here, by the way, speaking of the big controversy and the jawbreaker, here's what Todd Bowles had to say about the incident. He addressed the team right before practice and then after as well.
I'll let them tell you, it was something very childish that sixth graders could have talked about, and it had no reason happening. And, you know, if they want to tell you what happened, they can tell you what happened, but I told them I wouldn't say anything about it, so I'll keep it there.
And then, of course, one of the – by the way, the New York media loves this.
That's why it does matter. Even if Geno Smith and Ryan Fitzpatrick are the same guy, it's still a lot to navigate for a team, and it's hurt.
It definitely matters. Before.
Right, I'm looking at Greg's laptop, a New York Post headline. Smug Geno Smith goaded his sucker puncher, : witnesses. I mean, they love this stuff. This is, and by the way, Connor Orr, a seer on the latest, are you kidding me, mentioned what happened to the old school controversies. We have to deal with the flake and stuff. This is the good stuff. The starting quarterback gets knocked out.
You're saying Connor conjured this up?
I'm not ruling it out. By the way, and one of these reporters asked Todd Bowles a good question was, yes, I.K. Inampale, bottom of the roster guy. What if it was a starter? Would you have cut him?
If IK was a starter, would he have been released?
Yes.
I don't know. For me, I mean,
wish you weren't a liar.
Well, I agree with Wes. I don't think the team necessarily, quarterback wise, went down a black hole with this injury. But if you're Geno Smith, that's the loser here. Because when a coaching staff inherits a quarterback, they often want to change the quarterback to start with, and especially when it's Geno Smith. And when you take a Geno Smith for what he was on the field and you throw this into it, I mean, Chan Gailey is tied to Ryan Fitzpatrick in the past. No one in this organization is tied to Geno Smith. How much rope does he have at this point?
I mean, he doesn't have any real rope at all. And you think Geno Smith, this is why like Eli Manning compared to Geno Smith is a joke, because he might not have been responsible for this, but he played a part in the relationship crumbling. And you have things going back last year, sleeping through the meeting, getting into it with fans.
I think you got to be careful, though. It sounds like there's any – it's ridiculous, I think, for any of us to blame anyone when we don't know anything about this.
I do listen to how –
I thought I made myself clear. I'm not saying that he was responsible for getting punched in the face, but the fact that there was an issue between him, it sounds like he maybe – it could have been done handled better on his
part. And Bowles came out pretty strong to call it ridiculous, basically. I mean, he could have come out and been even more shielded with what happened. He threw him to the floor.
Where did Bowles go to elementary school when people had $600 in limousines?
He was a private
school. Well, $600 is like a dollar for a kindergarten kid. I mean, everyone's saying, well, $600 is more to that linebacker. He made $500,000 last year.
Right.
Like, it's not like he's some poor guy. So he's a crazy person. He could be arrested. He just, for that $600, he might have thrown away millions of dollars.
His entire career.
Right. Who knows if he's going to get a job again? Geno Smith could sue him if he wanted. He's not going to do that. But he could cost Geno Smith millions of dollars. You say they don't have anything invested in Geno Smith. That's fine. Ryan Fitzpatrick was getting no reps with the first team. Geno Smith, whether it was right or wrong, was their guy. They saw more upside in Geno Smith than they ever saw in Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, but now from this point forward.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that. But for a month, that's a big month, this preseason and training camp period in a brand new offense for Geno Smith, and he's not going to get that back.
And to what we were talking about earlier, whether was this Geno Smith's fault in some way, it's clear you read between the lines after practice when Nick Mangold spoke, when Darrell Revis spoke, when Todd Bowles spoke, that no one is viewing Geno Smith as a choir boy in all this. Here's what Darrell Revis had to say about the drama.
I hold both of them responsible, just how it all played out at the end when you gather all the information. But at the same time, we got to move forward. There's just, nothing to really harp on it no more. The Coach Bowles did the best he could of trying to handle the situation. And now as a team, we just got to move forward.
I mean, you're Darrell Revis. And yeah, you made a ton of money to come back to the Jets, and it's the new Jets, and everything's fine. I'm not saying that it isn't a different team, but at what point is he got to be thinking, what did I do?
Well,
right back in
I
the
think
fire.
He's happy.
Well, he's like TD.
Happy.
It's all about the money. I don't think he's worried about that. But one thing they didn't show, another clip, he said, this would have never happened with a great organization like the New England Patriots.
Lies!
That's what he's thinking, though.
I just made that. By the way, I'm watching that clip. If you watch on NFL Now, you'll see. This isn't the old Darrell Revis. That hairline has gone back quite a bit over the years. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, now he's not effective because he's not on your team anymore.
Well, he started going. By the way, it's a shot at Wes, number one.
I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying it's not the old Darrell Revis.
Number two, he was going. I took shots at him when he left for the Bucks for his receding hairline and a really bitter lover's lament. So this has been happening for a while. Who cares about that? Now, will Geno get his job back? Now, that's the other question. Todd Bowles said, if we're 4 or 5 or 6 and 7 and 0, which they won't be, no, he's not getting his job back. But Wes, I ask you, do you think you're not a big Ryan Fitzpatrick fan, but you're not a big Geno Smith fan either. When Geno gets healthy, let's say week 4 or so, is he their quarterback?
This is the old Bill Parcells saying, if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have a quarterback. And this is the way it goes when you don't have a quarterback. Whoever's hot stays hot. The hot hand gets the job. The way Todd Bowles phrased it, if the ship is going the right way, you don't make a move.
Sure.
That's just common sense. That's how you do it in football. So if Fitzpatrick, and I think he's never had surrounding talent this good in his career. You've got Brandon Marshall, Eric Decker, Jeremy Curley, Jason Morrow, and a couple of decent running backs.
How about when he was a rookie coming out there in his first game, 7th-round pick from Harvard, and he's got Torrey Holt and Isaac Bruce next outside of him?
A very aging and declining.
Yeah, that's
Torrey
right.
Holt and Isaac.
I think you look around the league at a couple teams, the Jets, the Browns, the Bills, you're going to see 2 or 3 quarterbacks play. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised to see Bryce Petty play week 16 and 17 if the thing falls apart. I mean, unless Ryan Fitzpatrick and Chan Gailey can recapture that brief magic they had in Buffalo, that was not a long run. They had a hot streak for a bit. That's the only way it stays on the field.
Let me ask you a question, Mark. Jets-Browns week one at the Meadowlands. Mm-hmm. Are you happier that Ryan Fitzpatrick's in the mix?
No, I think this is a tougher game for Cleveland because Gailey and Fitzpatrick have worked well together for a long time. And Geno Smith, I understand he's a making the leap candidate. He's the first one we got absolutely wrong.
That, well, why?
Whoa.
He hurt, well, because it's not,
not making the leap now.
Because he's not playing. Not that you're
he
wrong
will
about
be playing.
It.
First of all,
he's not
Anquan
making
Bolden
the leap
missed a couple
now.
Weeks
making
with a broken
the leap.
Jaw. It wouldn't shock me if Geno Smith is starting week one in this timetable.
The timetable is
things change.
Part of playing quarterback right. is just it's the whole thing.
He's missing all
it's
the
reps. Whole thing. And he's not the whole
not
thing right now.
Making the leap now?
I would rather play Geno Smith because he's going to throw two terrible passes that give the defense a chance.
By the way,
to turn
Ryan
the game.
Fitzpatrick is the guy that Chan Gailey didn't want to play. And Ryan Fitzpatrick is not the guy that people are making him out to be. They're saying, oh, he's this trusty veteran. He knows the system. At least you know what you're going to get. Has anyone watched Ryan Fitzpatrick play? He is the guy that comes off the bench. It has an insane amount of confidence. It doesn't matter what the defense does. He's going to go for it. He is the destitute
And what's Geno Smith?
Fitz
he's a
magic,
very
baby.
Similar type
what's
of player.
Geno Smith? He's going to throw three turnovers a game. He's gonna, I mean, come on. He's going to kill you just as much as Fitzpatrick.
I think
he's a similar player to Fitzpatrick in that he's very streaky and that he goes for it. But there's a lot more talent there and a chance for him to really grow.
They don't have
Cleveland,
a quarterback.
But then they have Indianapolis, Philadelphia, and Miami at Miami. That's not an easy start to the season. I think Fitzpatrick, he could look great for 2 weeks, and then he could throw five interceptions two straight weeks.
Well, he will.
We know who Ryan Fitzpatrick is. Here's a little quiz. How many quarterbacks since the 1970 merger have started games for at least five teams and don't have a winning record for any of them?
Two.
One. Fitzpatrick.
One. Ryan Fitzpatrick. We know who he is. He's
two,
a really
it's
good
be Geno
backup
Smith
and a terrible starter. He's a 6-10 guy. That's who he is.
I have a quick message for all the Jets fans right now. We will rally around Ryan Fitzpatrick, and we will play good football.
Hey,
for a month.
I have a message for Mark Sessler. Geno Smith is going to still make the leap. He's going to come back from this. He'll be the comeback player of the year. He can
mean
still
this
play
Geno
well.
Smith?
Go pedal that somewhere
this
else.
Instagram image right after he got his jaw busted. This guy's a goober,
Greg, you
and
know.
I've always known it.
Come
it shows
on, Greg.
He's tough. He puts up an Instagram picture
he's
with a
mean
broken
mugging.
Jaw.
Greg, let's put a sandwich on that. He's not making the
I'm
leap.
I'm in.
He's making no leap.
Wait, how do you put a sandwich on whether someone makes the leap?
We'll all decide.
Oh, that's fair.
By the way, Mark's got those fired up eyes at you right now.
No, careful. I think
he's
it's like enough with the Geno Smith hype train at this point. He's put him in the casket for the next month.
Whoa.
Well, he says he's a non-factor. Let's call him what he is, a non-factor.
Geno Carter has
locker room disaster.
It is funny. Manish Mehta, the New York Daily News columnist, which we all like, wrote an entire big column about how Geno Smith's attitude this year is much more mature. He's not letting everyone's negativity get to him. He's being a leader. Literally the next day, he got punched in the jaw for being a jerk, apparently. And then literally that night, Manish wrote a column, he may never play for the Jets again. That was
that's how it goes in New York.
New York.
That's New York.
The Geno coaster has derailed. All right, moving on. I mean, we'll be plenty more Geno to talk about in the future, but for now we got to talk about other news. And you know, we haven't touched the story a lot because it's been a lot of, you know, hedging back and forth, a lot of politics behind the scene, but Los Angeles, a city that hasn't had a NFL team since 1994 when the Rams and Raiders both left town. Our home, we do reside here, so it's been a market without the second biggest media market in the country has not had an NFL team. That really increasingly looks like that's about to end soon, and the Raiders seem like a real opportunity, a real chance they're going to end up here. Executive Vice President of NFL Ventures and Business Operations, Eric Rubman, made a statement regarding
Rubs.
regarding the city of Oakland's proposal or lack thereof to keep the Raiders at the league meetings in Chicago on Tuesday. Here's his quote. The facts on the ground are that there's been no viable proposal to the Raiders. As of yet, there's no proposal for the Raiders to consider. Added Grubman, if a proposal is made at any stage and it's not actionable, it's really not something the club could act upon. The skids are being greased, Chris Wessling.
Well, let me give you the Reader's Digest of this whole situation. You've got Carmen Policy, the former 49ers and Browns president, leading the faction for the Chargers and Raiders for a stadium to be built in Carson, and they would hope to have that ready by 2019. On the other hand, you've got Stan Kroenke of the Rams, who has the Inglewood project that they want to turn into a whole entertainment complex. Someday have the Grammys there, the Pro Bowl.
Maybe us.
The draft, the combine.
No, seriously, we might be down there.
That they want to put shovel in ground by December for that. And you have these two separate factions. Only one of these stadiums will be built. So between one of – basically it's the Rams versus the Chargers and the Raiders. And then you've got Steve Tisch, co-owner of the Giants. This is how far along it's getting. He said yesterday he believes there's more than a 50-50 chance a team will be playing next season in L.A., and that would happen in the Coliseum. So it's coming along pretty quickly.
And one interesting note on the Rich Eisen show on Wednesday, Sam Farmer from the L.A. Times was on the show. He said that one thing that's making this even more complicated and tricky is that Stan Kroenke, the Rams owner, is the guy that seems the most determined to leave town and go to L.A., but it's the city of St. Louis, yes, above all these other cities, that's fighting the hardest to keep their team. So it doesn't quite sync up the way maybe the league and, of course, Kroenke would like it to.
I think the league thinks Kroenke has the best plan, like you said, but they also – the owners believe that Dean Spanos, the Chargers owner, deserves a new stadium more than anyone else because he has exhausted all avenues for years to try this. So there are kind of warring factions there.
Kroenke, and we get asked about this on the radio if you ever do San Diego, right? It's always being talked about down here. Kroenke has the ultimate trump card. He's got the money.
If I had.
And he's got the land, and he can just do it. And he's already done it. He didn't ask for permission from the NFL to go buy all this land. He just did it. And that's, if you look at NFL history, that's how things get done. You don't wait for the city to come up
Al
with the
Davis
right proposal.
Al Davis never asked permission.
You don't wait for, you know, San Diego's been trying to do this for a long time. They asked Mark Davis about it in Oakland, and is Oakland even a viable solution? He said, I don't know. So I think the cities of San Diego and Oakland, it doesn't matter that St. Louis is doing the best job of the cities because the owner, Kroenke, has got the cash, and he wants to do it. And he's got teams in, you know, the Premier League. He can do whatever he wants. Well, I think he's going to just put all his chips in the middle of the table, and he's going to force it on the NFL.
You know, they talk at times about two teams potentially, and it was Tim Brown at the Hall of Fame. He warned against this. He said, you know, everyone wants – it's money. Everyone wants football back in L.A., but he remembered his opening game in 88 when he returned the kickoff into the end zone, starts the game, starts his career that way, and he looked up at the Coliseum, and there's nobody there. He said, this is a stadium that holds 100,000 people, and there's 35,000 people here because they're all at the beach.
You have to worry about that now.
L.A. still has that DNA, though. If you aren't a winning team, they're not. It's a Lakers town. How many are they going to fill 100,000?
The NFL is so different. That was pre-fantasy football. The NFL has been multiplied tenfold, 100-fold since then.
Two teams, though.
Yes, but playing in a crappy old facility. If you have a state-of-the-art, and that's why they've been, I think the NFL's been so precious about this. They know if they do it right, it will be successful and it'll be a massive moneymaker for the league, but they got to get it right.
Two teams is crazy to me.
Because I think that's all I'm saying.
Two
is too much.
All three teams have a natural fan base, but there's only so many Rams fans around. They have to be in their 40s and 50s to be Rams fans from last time. Same thing goes for Raiders.
They're out of rank.
Chargers is the most logical move. And I think, like you said, I think the NFL would like that to work out in an easy way because they're already a Southern California team. It's not that big a difference, but I don't think it's going to happen.
By the way, you mentioned Trump. It's out there. Now, I talked about...
Who mentioned Trump?
What? Who mentioned Trump? You said Trump. I dropped a you fired. And as you guys know...
You're a big Trump guy.
He said Trump, and then I
acted on it. I think I said the word Trump like that trumps something else.
I just want to say that I have told you guys privately and have told others that I'm trying to bring back the winning to...
How's that going?
To the lexicon. It's not working out. But now I realize what I really got to bring back is you fired...
You're a big Trump guy. We know this from hanging out with you.
I'm not a Trump guy, and I don't condone his presidency attempt here. But
ooh, politics podcast.
Politics podcast coming after the theology show. But honestly, yeah, you guys, at some point behind the glass, whenever, maybe I'll just drop a, you're fired, and you get in real tight on me. Another NFL Now exclusive. TD shaking his head. Why?
Tell the execs. Trump's great for ratings, you know?
He is. He moves the needle. So I'm bringing back you fired.
That's fine.
Winning,
go
not
for
working.
It.
Wow. That's your campaign. You just gave up one of your biggest campaigns.
I'm stumping for you fired. All right, let's move on. Tuesday night, What day is it?
Yeah,
it's today.
That's right.
Where are we?
It's, you're right.
Today is Wednesday, Tuesday night on HBO.
We're in the future home of the Rams.
On HBO, the 10th season of Hard Knocks kicked off, starring the Houston Texans and, you know, around the NFL. Yours truly, the old Zeuser, wrote a recap on episode one, and I know that three of us have watched it. Wes, you will get on the train.
I don't need to watch it because your recap, I mean, eat your heart out, Alan Sepinwall. Dan Hansis' recap of Hard Knocks is the best recap of any television show on the internet.
That is very nice.
That was the best pop culture reference in Wes's Around the NFL podcast history.
That was. It was both contemporary and a little bit of a deep dive. And
I prefer everybody knows classic references. I don't think that I get extra points for contemporary. So, you know.
So
I hike millennials.
You know, I guess thank you, Wes. I guess I'll get it started. I'll just say for me, and maybe I'll throw it to Mark because I know, Mark, you had a takeaway on this. There were three big stars in this episode, and I think Coach Bill O'Brien was one. Greg, you'll get into your love of a certain feud in practice. That was a big storyline. But J.J. Watt, who it shouldn't be a surprise to anyone, had a big part in this premiere, and he seems like a guy that's going to be focused on throughout the episode. And you might have a problem with this, Mark.
No, well, no. Let me start by saying I think J.J. Watt is – we just talked about Geno Smith. You want a centerpiece for your team. J.J. Watt is that. And on the field and off the field, he is that 100%. What my issue was a little bit, because I knew watching this Hard Knocks episode, they didn't get to the quarterbacks till minute 37. And in the 20 of the first 37 minutes were J.J. Watt, which I get, that's what they're going to do. But it was almost like, that's exactly what I'm expecting them to do. And that's exactly what they did. There was a point where there was like a 6-minute, like, J.J. Watt's working out after practice. Oh, look it, he's working out by himself. And it was just filler.
Well,
I love J.J. Watt.
It's like,
but don't take it the wrong way. I love J.J. Watt, the player.
You're fired.
What I don't like is the way they put it together. And that show is just endless Watt stuff. There's a lot of other storylines. Dig a little deeper, and I'm sure they will.
Go ahead, Wes.
I look at this the other way. I didn't see the show, but in your recap, the thing that stood out the most to me is J.J. Watt, his uniqueness, that when it's dark out, he's out working out alone. He's got a half-ton tire that he started out lifting one time and now lifts it 65 times. The difference between him, this is why he's going to be the greatest defensive player in history. Lawrence Taylor in his free time had cocaine and hookers. Gino Marchetti.
Ladies of the night.
People of the 50s will say Gino Marchetti was the best defensive player of the 50s and 60s. And if he had been able to work out year-round, if it was an $11 billion industry when he played, he'd be J.J. Watt. But the reason why Watt is going to be the best ever is because he does this year-round.
I'm coming at this from a watching the show angle, not whether – I agree with all that. J.J. Watt is that player. There was a period of the show where I was bored. I get it. I get he does this.
Let me just – for people that haven't seen it, because I know I get a lot of tweets like our UK audience doesn't have access to the show immediately. They actually – after a practice segment, then it was J.J. under the lights by himself at the Houston practice field. They showed him going to town on a tackling sled. They showed him using a jugs machine. And then he signed autographs, did an interview with Willie – of NFL Network, signed more autographs, and that shows at about 10 p.m. him walking off the field. The cynic in me, and I will, this is where I kind of maybe agree with Mark, or maybe you had a similar feeling, was, is J.J. Watt for real, or is he, you know, kind of full of
his game tape suggests he might
be. But we're not talking about it.
I mean, in terms of whether or not he would really be doing this if the cameras weren't there, but ultimately it doesn't matter.
I knew that would be the takeaway. I got a text from a friend last night. He said, who's the bigger phony, J.J. Watt or Russell Wilson? And I think – and I was watching that, and I already felt – I actually said something to my wife who watched the show with me. I was like, everyone is going to say he was just doing it for the cameras, that he's out there doing it. But then I'm thinking about it, and do we really want to hold it against him? Do we not think that he was doing stuff like that by himself late at night when the cameras weren't there? I bet he was doing that.
That was my point with the game tape. The game tape suggests that in his free time, he's doing nothing but working out.
My point, because I think I can see this getting swiveled around. It's like, I don't think he's phony at all. I think all that's is real, and I think if HBO was 2,000 miles away, he'd still be doing it. My point was, it was boring television.
Mm. Last point of Watt before we go to Greg's takeaway. Last scene of the episode, he's throwing corn.
Oh, yeah.
Backyard,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wisconsin.
Terrible for him.
Not a spinner.
Do you think? Oh, then
you
I could
take him down, Wes.
I could beat him 21 to nothing.
That's what I actually crossed my mind. Wes is so famously good at cornhole that I thought J.J. Watt might be the best pound-for-pound athlete in professional sports. and Wes would literally wipe him.
He went lefty backhand. It was bizarre.
Yeah. Your takeaway.
That's terrible.
Well, I thought the sequence between DeAndre Hopkins and D'Angelo Hall was one of the top 10 moments in Hard Knocks history. I jumped up out of my chair. It was devastating. When D'Angelo Hall retires, I will think about the sequence of him being on the sideline, not even playing, chirping at DeAndre Hopkins just because he wants to be on Hard Knocks or just because he's an idiot. And
he stuck his finger in Hopkins'
I think it's the both of them.
Because he's big hat, no cattle.
He was doing nothing. And he starts talking trash to DeAndre Hopkins, and they go back and forth.
Wait, what does Hopkins say? It's important. He repeats the same thing. Hopkins, by the way, to me, a very interesting, compelling figure in this first episode. Yeah. Kind of hard to get a hold of what he's all about, but he keeps repeating, I fear God, boy. I fear God, boy. I fear God, boy. I don't even know what it meant. Well, I think he was saying he fears not D'Angelo Hall or
not
no
D'Angelo
man,
Hall,
only the big man upstairs, but it was hilarious.
It was amazing. Smash cut to DeAndre Hopkins lining up across from D'Angelo Hall. And the music starts swelling like it's the end of the Around the NFL podcast. And they're ready. And he makes a move that injures D'Angelo Hall. He hurts his knee. He hurts his ankle, right?
He hurt his knee and strained his groin.
Yeah. He basically broke his ankle. D'Angelo Hall crumples to the ground. That was it. It was over. First round knockout. That's a devastating.
Well, then DeAndre did say something after
his comment. Then was DeAndre just says again in a very laconic manner. He's just like, I just finished it. I didn't start nothing.
Oh,
I mean,
I love it
with a little attitude.
Did D'Angelo Hall show up to work today? To me, that's one of the most embarrassing moments that any NFL player has ever had to experience. That's hearing someone chatter like that and then just get injured and taking his manhood away.
So he almost literally broke the other guy's ankle.
It was devastating.
It really was a devastating move. And I guess what stuck out to me was Bill O'Brien. And if you are a religious watcher of Hard Knocks, you know Mike Smith last year played a major role in it being maybe one of the lesser seasons. He was such a low-key figure. You didn't really buy into any of it. He was kind of a low talker, not somebody that excites you. Bill O'Brien is clearly a Belichick disciple in how psychologically he deals with his players, kind of his attitude and his love. And I always love a man who is good with an F-bomb or a woman. If you know how to drop an F-bomb with the right amount of verve.
He does.
And this guy, he's going to challenge Rex Ryan for the most F-bombs in Hard Knocks history.
Oh, more.
And he knows how to say it, and he knows how to deliver it in just a devastating way. So to see O'Brien, who's a passionate, excitable guy, usually, and I wrote in the review that on Hard Knocks, there's usually an assistant coach that kind of steals the thunder of the head coach. I don't think it's going to happen this time.
Well,
Romeo Crennel was almost asleep.
I was going to say, but the F-bomb thing, there was at the end of the show. Romeo Crennel dropped some F-bombs, and I don't think he dropped an F-bomb the entire time.
He looked like he had to
Browns
take a nap,
coach.
Though. He was exhausted by the time
he's an old man, but he had a little fire.
But okay. Billy O'B, I'm very excited about him this
season. He is such a masshole. I mean, that's who Bill O'Brien is. He's from Boston, and he's just great. You're great. He just has a way.
That's it. I was trying to put my finger on it. I went to school in Boston, and I know a lot of guys that I like, and I like their kind of abrasive attitude. That's who he is.
I like how they opened the show where he said, not a single person respects this team, talking to his assistants, and I think that's a good war cry for
them. He's really going all in on this nobody respects our quarterback thing, and he thinks they're good. He's going to find out that they're not very good.
He was giving the speech to his coaches. I thought that was weird.
I liked it, to be honest. I mean, he's getting them ready for camp.
Every year my wife has the same question. She says, why do they have to make so many speeches? And I always think, like, is it really necessary to make so many speeches?
Culture.
The season is 7 weeks away, and it's all speeches every day. I don't know.
So there, and if you haven't seen the show and you have the ability to see it, try to watch Hard Knocks. It really is the best sports documentary program out there and the greatest inside look at the NFL you'll ever get in an era where access is shrinking. Hard Knocks literally gives you everything. The only thing it didn't give me, by the way, one last point, Arian Foster, I was hoping that was going to be – we're going to get a good look at what happened. You don't see the injury. He disappears from cameras, so you didn't get a lot of that. But other than that, I give it a nice – that's an A-minus premiere.
I'd agree. It was good.
All right. Moving on. Gentlemen. There is a game that we like to play. It's a game where, and if you're new viewers or listeners to the show, it might be a little high concept. So just follow along. We each present two scenarios, and then we ask each other, "What's your fancy? If you had to choose between one of them, what would it be?" And you know, what's your fancy? You know, it's not necessarily the greatest title for a game, but if you flip it around and you stick what's your fancy in the Google Translator function, you get some nice ones. And our favorite one, and Greg, I'll let you drop in, and a lot of pressure on you. What comes up?
Qual es tu fantasia?
I'm no hand.
Qual es tu fantasia?
Ooh, look at this.
This is fancy.
We got a graphic that says it's a beautiful thing.
So each
we're
of us
international
will go.
Show. A lot of we get like 40% of our listeners. That's are international right. Somehow.
So let's go around the horn and each throw out one or two of these.
Get me in the mood.
And I'll start it with Mark Sessler. He's going to the doctor tomorrow, so we don't know if we're going to see him again. We don't know what's going to happen. So might as well get these out because really, this is really in your wheelhouse.
I also wrote this in the middle of feeling extremely ill. So
that could make it even better.
Awesome. I'm not sure about that.
Yeah.
All right, so two scenarios. The first one. Okay. You are transported back to the Middle Ages, where you sit on the throne of ease in a kingdom named Pantalox IX. For 10 years, you exist in ultimate luxury. You are infinitely wealthy. All food and drink is yours. You have a fan base.
Like Wes.
Life is beautiful until the final day when angry race of invaders burn into the kingdom and behead you in mere seconds, hoisting your bloody head on a pole and traveling with it as a reminder of their dominance for years to come. So things very good, then they get bad. Or
wait, let me just get Pantalox 9, food and drinks, life is great, then a revolt, okay. And you're murdered.
Exactly. Yeah. Option two.
Like, keep the music coming.
Yeah, what happened to the music? There we go. You become the host of NFL Game Day Morning for the next 10 years and author 7 devastating football books that changed the country before you are taken down by an assassin's bullet in the streets of Montpelier, Vermont in 2025.
I knew they would skew violent with Mark.
Well, it's just, there's both.
Why are we in Montpelier? Like a bed and breakfast, or we don't know.
Is it like a Johnny Cake?
Because I hate bed and breakfasts. It's so awkward.
You're not at a B&B.
I love B&B.
When you're
sitting. You're at a B&B, you're not a B&B.
Yeah, Game Day Morning host for 10 years.
I mean, you're an icon.
As you, always, what happens to Rich Eisen?
Well, he's.
Is he on Panelox 9?
It's not a concern.
We don't worry about that.
10 I've years. Author of many high octane books
that changed the culture. I
mean, assassinated in New England.
Right.
Okay.
I've got an answer.
Wes.
Well, you want the second option, obviously. The first option, I mean, ever since Ulysses, we've heard about sirens and, you know, the inherent danger. Your life is going to turn bad if you fall victim to basically the sloth of just enjoying luxury for X amount of years.
Tybee Island corollary.
Right, this happened to me. If you become self-indulgent, you also become hollowed out as a person. I think that
this
it's better.
To you.
It so, did. I,
so Wes,
I became
so Wes said, I need
on,
to get out of that environment. I'm moving to Los Angeles.
That's exactly what happened. I think the second option, you're working for something every day. You have accomplishments and achievements. It's going to make you a better person. You will treat people better.
The Game Day Morning host thing doesn't even sound like a positive. That sounds stressful.
That sounds
I'd
awful.
Be terrible at it. But it is my dream. It would be great to see your own book at a bookstore, and much less 7, you know, knockouts. So that alone, I'm taking that option just because that seems awesome.
So in the Game Day Morning scenario, I'm shot to death. In Panelox 9, I'm beheaded.
Yeah.
That's what I'm breaking it down to that.
And they dance around with your head on a pole.
Yeah.
That I don't care. I'm separated from my being at that point. Is it a single kill shot?
It's a kill shot. One kill shot.
All right, I'll be that guy.
I would too. I think it'd be awesome to get assassinated. What a great way to go.
I'm gonna wow.
There's an insane deranged Sessler fan that's taking notes
and
putting on red lipstick right now. Wes, your turn.
All right, a little
pink. By the way, Mark, that was appropriately deranged.
Wait, so if you have a slightly more like football normal one, use that one now as a counteractive one.
Yeah. All right, I'll use my most normal one. This is a hype test for rookies. Your team, Jets, Browns, Patriots, your team starting quarterback, starting running back, top two receivers, and best pass rusher go down to injury. You get one of these groups of 5 to replace them. Marcus Mariota, Amari Cooper, Philip Dorsett, Amir Abdullah, and Vic Beasley.
Okay.
This is your all hype 5.
All rookie.
These are your the next group's going to be all rookies too. Those guys are hyped. Or this group, Jameis Winston, Kevin White, Devontae Parker, Todd Gurley, and Bud Dupree. Guys who are not getting hype and or are injured, putting their week one status in doubt. You have them for the entire season. The second group was a lot more highly valued coming out of the draft. The first group,
that's a good one,
is being hyped tremendously.
And this is just for 1 year, not
just for
this
future. Year.
I'm taking Jameis Winston as my leader. Why do I feel differently about him now than I did during the draft season? He was the quarterback I wanted, and it all starts there. Kevin White, you know, it doesn't look great, but do I want Kevin White? Do I want Devontae Parker Dorsett? That's a big edge for Parker. I think he'll be back eventually. I want Gurley over Abdullah. I know it's only 1 year, but I don't care. The second half of the year
matters.
Taking that team.
And frankly, I learn about a lot of these college guys once they begin their NFL careers in terms of skill level.
No, you're tracking them from high school on.
Well, that's you. You go junior high.
Don't be modest.
But I do, based on just what I know, I just like the look of that second team as well. Winston scares me a lot from a personality standpoint. But, you know, and who knows what happens if the Bears receiver ends up shin splints turn into something longer. But I'm going to roll the dice. And Gurley, to me, is the wild card, because if he shows up and he's week one and he's dominant, I got a stud running back and a promising QB.
I am going to go with the first group. Because the first group solves, if you're talking, you pointed to me with the Browns, it solves every one of their problems. You have a quarterback in Mariota that they wanted to begin with and is, by all accounts, incredibly smart, picked up the NFL program pretty quickly. They don't have any wide receivers, and suddenly you have Philip Dorsett and you have, who was the other one, Amari Cooper?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Hello. And then, you know, they have Duke Johnson injured. You just plug in Abdullah. I like everything we've heard about him as well. So I have no problem with group number one.
I'm with you on this. I am all in on Marcus Mariota. I like everything I've heard about him. And I think out of this entire group, Amari Cooper is going to have the biggest impact out of any of them. You might not get really good Todd Gurley until November.
That's a surprising thing that Wes has fallen for the preseason hype. We haven't even gotten to the preseason and you're taking the
It's not the interception talk at all. It's everything else, that he's incredibly accurate, that he's poised, that he has everything you want. I think the fact that he just I think that you're surprised that I believe in the it factor for quarterbacks. I totally believe in the it factor, and I think Mariota has it.
The NFL is silly, by the way, in how we all track these practices, but I feel like there's been special attention given to interceptions this season. It's crazy.
It's very bizarre.
I'm going to defer to you, Greg. Give us another one.
All right. This is a simple one. You know, I wanted to balance it out. You have this year to go win a Super Bowl. You're the general manager. You don't have to worry about options for the trades. You just get to choose. It's a magical, different universe. You have to win the Super Bowl this year. Do you take, as your quarterback, Matt Ryan, or do you take Russell Wilson? You don't know anything about your defense or what's around you. Just this year, you need to win the Super Bowl now. Matt Ryan or Russell Wilson?
There's no question to me. I'll take Russell Wilson.
Really?
Well, number one, you're talking about he's done it. And the Falcons, for a period of time with Matt Ryan, had some incredible talent on their team. He's always had Julio Jones.
You don't think Matt Ryan could have made the Super Bowl with that Seahawks team?
That's the question.
I guess what I'm saying is I don't know that. I know that Russell Wilson can. And I like Russell Wilson's work ethic. I think the guy's incredibly underrated and athletic.
By the way, I forgot to say, ¿cuál es tu fantasía?
Ah, that's true. That is my fantasy. I'll go Russell Wilson.
That's amazing. I mean, Russell Wilson, you called him underrated, first of all. I don't think he's underrated at all.
Well, one thing I find is everyone now is meshing his personality. We don't like him anymore because he's starting to become
I think
that's a very
internal thing within the studio.
Right. As a player, I love the guy.
I do too, but I do also think the Falcons don't go to the playoffs last year, even if Russell Wilson's there. So I think Matt Ryan is probably a higher talent but I think Russell Wilson has a higher ceiling. It's a great qualis to fantasia, Greg. I will go with this year, 1 year, Matt Ryan at age 30 or whatever it is. Let me see what Matty does right now. I think he this is the best he'll ever be, and I'm going to roll with him.
I'll preface this by saying I think Matt Ryan is one of the most underappreciated quarterbacks in the league. He's a top 10 quarterback. I'm taking Russell Wilson. Again, because I believe in the it factor. He's proven that he can pull out close games. I don't know
except
if Matt Ryan can, you know, keep pulling out close games.
I think Matt Ryan at this point is turning into the Tony Romo of his generation. If he had the right people around him, of course he would be winning Super Bowls with the Seahawks.
What has Tony Romo won?
Wait, isn't Tony Romo the Tony Romo of his generation?
Don't we rail against quarterback win-loss record? It's a team sport, and the quarterback matters so much. But I truly believe if you put Matt Ryan in the last 3 years on the Seahawks, I think they've already won two or three Super Bowls.
I don't think so.
I think he's superior. And, of course, I think they're going to be at least as good as they've been.
You can rail against quarterback wins all you want, but you judge quarterback by what they do on third downs and late in games. And Russell Wilson is great at that.
And Matt Ryan is too.
I'm taking the guy.
Well, that's why it's a good question. And not everyone is going to agree with you. That's the thing. We're going Russell Wilson.
By the way,
This
is not me trolling the Seahawks or anything, but Russell Wilson didn't just lose the Super Bowl with an interception. So it's not like
he also got unimpeachable. He got to the Super Bowl with his unbreakable will in the NFC Championship.
Well, I would also say because Brandon Bostic couldn't catch it on Sunday.
And because Andy threw four interceptions to put them there.
Yeah.
But I want that late game magic. That's what
I get that.
Through the history of quarterbacking, that's what separates the greats.
I think maybe he's not quite there yet, though, as a quarterback, whereas I think this is who Ryan is, and it's a very underappreciated.
By the way, if Pete Carroll calls a run on that play, Russell Wilson's got another ring.
I want a fired-up quarterback, and that's Russell Wilson.
All right, here we go. I'll step in now. Mm. Little
excitement.
I know, I'm excited.
Oh, we've got to make a notation first.
Do I get any music?
Waiting for
what
music.
Do you got, Hans?
Here we go.
Let's go.
You are Geno Smith.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
I mean, you are Geno Smith. Right now, you cannot speak. Eat solid foods, or play football for the next 2 months because you got punched in the jaw by a crazy person. You got jacked up. Through back channels, you learn that teammate Ryan Fitzpatrick was the mastermind behind the sucker punch. Your first thought, damn, that's some "are you kidding me" stuff right there. You have two options. Go to the police with the revelation and turn your career and the Jets organization into a tabloid sensation that we haven't seen in decades. Or keep it in-house, get healthy, pummel the Amish rifle in an act of revenge, and then hold this ugly secret over the organization that allows you to hold on to your Jets job forever and get a series of absurd contracts. Qual es tu fantasia?
I mean, I've got to go number B. It sounds like you could probably work a Bobby Bonilla contract out of that at some point. I like that. I mean, that would show that Geno, number one, keep it all down. You know, come back, have the fire inside.
I mean, it's a serious lack of integrity, though. You're basically a human gutter ball to choose option B.
Why?
Because you're using this misfortune and doing something really that's even worse.
Well, the first, though, is sort of just being a crybaby and exposing everyone.
Yeah, that's how I look at it. I'm taking option B because that's your quickest route to being a great football player. And that's what, when you really look inside Geno Smith, that's all he ever wanted. That's his chance to come back, be a great quarterback for the Jets and make some money. Cause he's,
you can check out Greg's Geno Smith Making the Leap piece on NFL.com.
He's got that will to win inside.
Wes is reading over my copy, trying to make sense of it.
I'm not sure what appeals about the first situation. You're basically a rat fink.
That's right.
No,
you're
not a rat. It's not like you're going to the police. It's just you're letting it play out the way it would ordinarily. You're putting it behind you. You're trying to get on with your career. Or you could take this misfortune and use it for devious methods.
The first one sounds like you're outing the organization and everyone else.
I feel like the second option, you don't say anything about how he plays in the first option. The second option, you're guaranteed that he plays well.
Not well, that he gets paid.
He holds the starting job forever.
Because I like immortality, so
I'm taking B.
No, he holds it over the organization.
Yeah.
Like, they can't bench him because he's like, oh, you sure you want to bench me?
And oh, like, so there's blackmail.
Yeah, big time.
I'm still taking B. I'd rather keep the starting job than be a rat.
All right. Mark, you're up.
All right, here we go.
How much time do we have left, TD? How many more can we do?
About 6 minutes.
Okay, good. Go ahead.
All right, so you emerge at your current age and physical build. You're you. To guide the NFL team of your choice to two straight Super Bowls, Dan Hansis, Greg Rosenthal, Wes, become football players, take a two-team to two straight Super Bowls. The feat in itself makes you a surefire Hall of Famer. and you are lauded until you pass away of natural causes at 85.
No assassination or PI.
No, it's a beautiful,
death.
Beautiful life.
Great, I like it.
Or you anonymously cure cancer, but live in poverty for the rest of your life. No one will ever know what you did, and you'll have a tough life, but you did something great for humanity.
This isn't fair.
I'm taking option B.
Yeah, right.
I've been in poverty most of my life. It doesn't – money wouldn't – that holds no appeal. I mean, the money would make my life a lot easier, but I've been in poverty
most
of my life.
Well, it's also that you'd I'd be a two-time Super Bowl winner and wearing a gold jacket.
I can help. But those, I can help the entire world.
But those things, as we get older, they don't make you happy. I mean, everyone that doesn't have money thinks money's going to make you happy, and study after study. Money doesn't make you happy. Gold jackets don't make you happy. If you knew that you – you cured cancer, you're going to walk around the rest of your life feeling great about yourself.
I think what
– maybe too much. So I'm going with that option too. And there's no right answer here because it makes us sound like we're lying or something to go with that option. But especially because you knew you had that option,
right.
You're going to feel bad about yourself. That's going to be tough to deal with. I already deal with a lot of thoughts in my head. I'm Jewish. You know what I'm saying? I already feel guilty for everything.
Well, we're not very religious people, but I think what the Around the NFL podcast is saying, we believe in karma, that – doing good deeds and being a good person will make you a happier, fulfilled person.
Theology podcast, Wes. This is Qualis tu Fantasia.
That's why I kept God out of
but
it.
But I will say, I was going to reference Father Doyle over at St. Margaret's in Pearl River, New York. He would say, Danny boy, you know what you got to do here.
Got to do it.
And so I know what I'm supposed to say, and I really know what I have to do, because if I'm the guy that says I'm going to go to 7 Pro Bowls and have a mini mansion, somewhere on the Jersey Shore. I'm a pretty bad person, and I'll know this too. I'll carry this with me, right?
Yeah, I think that's probably gonna do that.
It's gonna eat away at you until you become a despicable person.
I'll be like the Geno Smith who decides to extort the Jets. So.
I'm with you. I couldn't live with the choice I made even if I won 2 Super Bowls.
I will save everyone that has cancer, but then contribute to a massive overpopulation problem, which will be its own calamity.
Dan Hansis goes Malthusian. All right. Little peek behind the curtain here.
Okay.
Greg has to go down to our sales team meeting because his quarterback index feature, which is weekly during the season, has gotten so good that they want a spinoff. The quarterbacks that Greg doesn't cover on a weekly basis. So here's option A. You're charged with writing this spinoff sponsored by Pepto-Bismol called Feeling Nauseous? You write the quarterback index, but you only cover the Bills, Jets, Browns, Texans, Chiefs, and Rams. You have to watch all of their tape every week and write up an article just on the worst quarterbacks in the league. Or option B, you must draw up lengthy treatises along the lines of Dan's Hard Knocks recaps on all of the following. The entire first season of HBO's Ballers.
Ugh.
The entire first season of Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. The entire second season of HBO's True Detective, Bridget Jones' Diary, and Bridget Jones' The Edge of Reason.
Edge of Reason.
Sounds like a West Dream assignment.
This is super easy for me. Because I actually like True Detective Season 2
Let Wes say what he needs to say, though.
Oh.
Qual es tu fantasia?
Ah, thank you. Yeah, I mean, I would love to write about True Detective Season 2, but the rest of those are a garbage heap, so no thank you. I mean, even if you're watching bad quarterback play, you're watching both teams, you're learning, you're getting something out of it, you can be an authority on that, and it's closely linked to what we do all the rest of the day. I'd much rather write the gigantic dumpster fire garbage rankings sponsored by Pepto-Bismol.
Yeah, I'm going with that as well. I do have to watch the bad quarterbacks anyway.
You kind of give them like 3 dot, 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 this
yeah,
guy, you know,
true.
One sentence on
that's
it.
That's true. But I kind of enjoy bad quarterback play. One of my favorite games ever was the Brody Croyle, Kellen Clemens clash, Jets, Chiefs back in Herm Edwards' return to the Meadowlands. So I'm going to go with that.
I'd rather be assassinated in Vermont after watch another episode of Ballers. So that by the way, HBO, shout out to HBO. I love Hard Knocks. But you got to get that show off the air.
Also,
all right, last one. This one's simple. And I'll follow it up with an Indonesian version of What Is Your Fancy?
Mm.
You can either be a fan of the New York Jets for the next 30 years or... And you're just a fan. you don't know that you used to be another fan. You love them. It's just you're thrown into that. Or you can be punched in the face by IK and Impale. One or the other.
Oh, this is easy. I'll take the punch from IK.
Really?
Why do I want to give my life over to some team I have no interest in?
I'd go that too because
he broke the guy's jaw.
I can take a punch.
Right. Let's say you get a broken jaw. Oh, you have to sit out from work for 8 weeks and read a lot of books.
Oh, I almost forgot.
I mean, it'd be great.
Apa mewa anda.
Mm. I'm going punched. Is it a punch to the face? You said
you break your jaw in two places.
Yeah, you're out for 6 weeks. I'm drinking nice smoothies. I'm reading books,
coming.
Watching television.
I got a feeling you don't have a glass jaw like Geno Smith.
It's probably true.
That's terrible.
I was going to defend Geno Smith, then I was like, why would I do that? I don't care. No, I'm going to be a Jets fan. Listen, I'm on this train.
You are, yeah.
I'm not getting off this train. There will be no binder, Wes, for me. I will always support this awful, awful, awful experience that I've gone through in my life, which is hoping this team gets back to the Super Bowl, and I will never give up.
I agree. And I don't know if you guys noticed, I'm built like a 12-year-old girl. I'm not taking that punch. And who knows? The Jets might be good the next 30
years. Oh, you're going to go from a Patriots fan to a Jets fan.
They might be good the next 30 years.
That would be good for you, by the way. Honestly, your entire being would be good for you. All right, that's it for Thursday's edition of the Around the – what is today, Wednesday?
Wednesday.
Stay right. Wednesday's edition of the Around the NFL podcast. Thank you again. We're on NFL Now 3 times a week. We're also – the podcast, you can download that, and you can subscribe to us on iTunes, all that good stuff.
Tell your friends. How about that?
Tell your friends. All right, here we go. This is Stan Hansa signing off for the Sizzler, the mailman, the boss, TD behind the glass, and everyone back there who did a great job. We will be back with one more show on Friday, so until then, see ya!